You're listening to The Zesty Garden. I'm your host, Brian Earle, and in with the studio with me today is Helen Muntz. She's Extension Horticulture Educator for Cache County Extension. And one of the topics that I've wanted to bring up and really haven't in the past, but this is a really good time because I saw that you had publicized that this was coming up, are gardens that people can participate in. So, for instance, you don't have your own space to grow a garden, but there is a community garden that you can come and participate in. And Cache County has not one, not two, but three of them. So that caught my eye. Tell me what a community garden is.
Well, it's basically a place that you can rent a plot and grow your vegetables or whatever kind of annuals you want. And usually there's water and tools provided. And you get to know your fellow gardeners in the community. And sometimes we do other programs for the gardeners. And it's just a great place to grow your own stuff.
So typically, how large of a plot do you have?
Our plots are 10 by 20 feet, so they're 200 square feet. Usually people will want a little bit more than that, but for a beginner gardener, it's pretty manageable.
And can you get more than one plot, or do you have to wait and see if there's enough room that's left?
Usually there's plenty of room to get more than one plot. Yep. So the plots are $30, depending on what garden, but $30 a piece. And so you just pay $30 per plot and then a one-time cleanup deposit for $15 that's refunded to you at the end of the season if you've properly cleaned your plot.
So what comes with your plot? You've got the soil, and the water comes with it as well?
Yeah. So the watering's kind of a different situation in each of the three gardens. But some of them are automatic. Others, we go out and do some overhead for you. But you may have to do some supplemental watering, dragging the hose. But all that equipment's there. Wheelbarrows, shovels, hand trowels, that's all equipment that we have there on site. And what else? We do get donations most of the time for things like compost and mulch that you can use.
That's nice. So you don't even have to bring in your own compost.
Yeah, usually not. I mean, we get as much as we can through donations. But yeah, if you need more, then you can go out and get more.
Can you plant your own cover crop? In other words, if you maybe don't want to put a garden in this year but really want to save it over until next year, and you can plant some buckwheat or something to get your plot going.
Yeah, that's a great question, because we actually have a few gardens that are, there's an area reserved for permanent plots. If you're not keeping the same plot over and over each year, then it's going to get plowed and tilled. So you don't really need to grow a cover crop. You could do that if you had a permanent plot, because we don't go and till those. That's yours to use year after year.
And are you responsible if you have a permanent plot for tilling it from one year to the next?
Yeah, but if you want someone to go in there and till it, you just talk to the extension office and me or an intern or someone can go till it up for you.
So all the tools are there, the water's there. What you need to bring then is the seed and get it in the ground and then take care of it.
Yep.
I'm assuming you're not going to have weeders come along and weed that. You need to take
no,
care of that yourself.
Yeah. So there are some regulations that go along with it, just to keep your plot managed and weeded and be respectful for your neighbors. But we will actually keep an eye on things, and you would be notified if you had weeds that are 3 feet tall and you've been neglecting your plot. So
how regulated is that? Because weeds can get away quite easily.
Yeah, well, we're pretty understanding about that. I know people, they go out of town, they haven't been by, and the weeds get out of control. So, we just give you an email or a phone call and give you a couple weeks or a few weeks and to get that managed again. So, we're pretty easygoing, but want to make sure that people are taking care of their plots.
So where are the three gardens?
So we have one in Hyde Park. Well, it's pretty close to North Logan.
Is it near the Catholic Church?
Yes,
oh,
that's
okay.
The one by the Catholic Church. And they actually donated the land for this one. So it's located right west of that church there. And then we also have one in Nibley, and that's by, I think it's called Elkhorn Park in Nibley. And our new one, the third one, is going to be in Logan, and it will be by Bridger Elementary School, and that's about 400 west and 1200 north. So
there used to be one by the hospital a long time ago, and has there not been one in Logan since then?
I believe not. Yeah, that was probably the last time, and that's probably 10 years or longer ago. Yeah, it was before my time in extension. So
can you bring, for instance, I grow a lot of iris. If I wanted to have a plot to put in some more varieties because I can't fit any more around my home, can I do that?
That would be something that you could do if you had a permanent plot.
So, yes.
So otherwise, we don't really encourage any like perennial plants. But if you have a permanent plot, then yep, by all means, you can use it for propagating iris.
What do you see most people growing?
Oh, the typical vegetables. So everyone's got tomatoes, peppers. I've had quite a few people growing corn. Squash, of course. I've seen some melons.
How do you regulate that? Because melons and squash tend to ramble.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, people are pretty good at keeping their plants within their boundaries. But, you know, I go out there and people ask me questions and they're like, well, you know, the squash is getting too big. It's choking out this plant. Can I cut it back? And then I tell them, yeah, they can cut it back. So, you know, I'm always here to answer questions, and it usually works out just fine. People are pretty respectful.
What about insect regulation? Do you require that it all be organic, or can people just do what they need to do on their own plots?
Yeah, so in the regulations that people sign, we do have a sort of a pest management portion. So I, you know, encourage integrated pest management practices. And we do say that you can use different insecticides and stuff as long as they're organic. So we've got a small list there that people can use. And if there's a big problem or they need something else, they have to approve it with me first. But I've really honestly never had anyone come to me asking if they can spray some kind of chemical or something. Everyone's pretty good at keeping on top of the pest management. So.
I was going to say, and usually most of the insects are not too much of a problem. I mean, sometimes you get worms, for instance, that are on the cabbage, the loopworms.
Right.
You can use BT, for
right.
instance. I'm assuming that would be something that would be okayed.
Yep, that would be just fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Aphids, what do people do for aphids?
Well,
insecticidal soap?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Insecticidal soap, or you can even squirt them with the hose, with a harsh spray with the hose, and that'll get them off your plants and eventually kill them. So.
And I know Diane Elston, who's the extension entomologist that I talk to each month, she talks about integrated pest management, or IPM.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's really quite helpful, and it's amazing how much less or no chemicals that you have to use when you're really on top of things.
Yep. So it's definitely a great way to even save money.
I was thinking in the instance of zucchini, I know if I follow up for about 2 weeks once I first see a squash bug, usually I'm okay the rest of the year. But if I'm in a plot like this, I might have to look a little bit longer. Do you find that some people tend to take care of things a little bit more than others? Like if there's a zucchini in the plot next to mine and they're not taking care of it, those squash bugs are going to continue to come over to my side,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah, they will. And that happens, you know, in most situations that happens. I haven't had a lot of complaints, about, their squash bugs are coming into my plot or anything like that. I mean, maybe they don't even notice it. But yeah, that kind of thing happens anytime you got neighbors. One person might be a little bit more on top of it than another. So,
of course, how do you keep someone like myself who sees a squash bug on someone else's plant and wants to go over there and just like, here, I'll just do this for my neighbor? I mean, can you do that? Or is it pretty much you need to kind of stay away and take care of your own?
Yeah, that's a interesting question. Yeah, they you know, people aren't really supposed to tamper with anyone else's
plot. I mean,
plot,
that makes sense.
But yeah, but I think under that circumstance, maybe if they sent an email out or, you know, asked me who that tenant was or talked to them in person and said, hey, you know, I got rid of some squash bug eggs for you, you know, I'm sure they would be fine with it.
I suppose if you're there often enough, you kind of get to know the people that are around you anyway.
Yeah, and yeah. Most of the gardeners get to know their neighbors pretty well. So,
has there been anything since you've been managing this program that has surprised you about the program? What's one of your favorite things about it?
You know, I think it's just when I get to go, I'm out there doing some maintenance or something, and I get the tenants, you know, showing me things and asking me questions. And, you know, I don't know, my favorite part maybe is just being out there, you know, seeing what people are growing and how creative they're being with the space and the types of things that they're growing. And when they ask me questions, and I guess that's a pretty long answer, but yeah, I think that's probably my favorite part about it.
And there are community gardens all over the state. Is there a central website that people could go, or do they just look up their own extension office?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if there's actually a central website or not, because they are probably run through different organizations. So not all of them are necessarily under extension.
I would imagine, though, the extension office would probably know.
You would think so.
So if you have, if you're not in Cache County and you're in another county in the state or even a neighboring state, just check with your county extension office. It would be the best thing to do. And if someone in Cache County wanted to sign up for one of these plots, how did they do that?
Well, they either come visit us at the extension office down at the Cache County Administration Building, and or they can give us a call. It's 435-752-6263. And yeah, and we can help them out. We
and just say, I want a garden in your community plot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's $30. Yeah. And they're until they're reserved, all reserved?
Right. Yep. So first come, first serve for the most part. There's certain, like if we have raised beds also that we sort of give people with disabilities or other things some priority there. But
each one of these areas has a raised bed in it?
Not all of them. Just, well, the Logan one is new, so we're hoping to get some in. But there are some raised beds in the other two, in Nibley and in Hyde Park. So.
Okay. And how accessible is it to those with disabilities?
It's very accessible. There's road base around them. Some of them are taller, so it's easy to stand and garden, and some of them have a nice ledge, so you can kind of sit on the edge and garden that way. So,
and they are full sun?
Yeah, all full sun, right towards the front where the parking is, so you don't have to haul anything too far.
Okay. Anything else that you'd like to add about this? Do you want to talk about the history of a community gardens?
Well, yeah, to be honest, so a lot of these started before I was in an extension. So they were started by Ton Bettis, who was here in Cache County before he moved to Utah County, about 10 years ago, I would say. And it was a great collaboration between USU and the Catholic Church and some other organizations, Master Gardeners Association. And they raised a lot of money. They got some grant money. They got lots of donations. And then they started this garden up in Hyde Park. So, and that's probably about 2007. Other than that, that's about all the history I know for sure about it. But, you know, they're really a great, great opportunity for people. We have so many people who, you know, students who are, you know, renting housing and or just don't have space or sunshine in their yard. And it's really an inexpensive way to be able to grow a lot of produce. And people learn a lot. There's, you know, they take their kids out there and their kids are learning. So it's really a great opportunity. Even if you have a club or something where you want to incorporate, you know, a gardening, summer gardening activity, you can you know, rent a plot to do something like that. And if you need any help, let us know and we'll come out and do programming with you. And so it's a really great opportunity.
Can anyone rent a plot? Meaning, like, say you are someone that wants to sell things at the gardener's market. So you're going to make your plot all
cabbages or whatever it might be. Is can a commercial grower come in and rent a plot for something like that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I've never had that happen, but Okay. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Helen, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
You've been listening to Zesty Garden. Helen Muntz is at USU's Extension Horticulture Educator in Cache County, and we've been talking about community gardens. And if you'd like to start your own community garden, just call the Cache County Extension Office to reserve your plot. They're $30, and it's 435-752-6263. You're listening to The Zesty Garden. It's our For Eat's Sake segment. Barney Northrup is the head chef at Herm's Inn in Logan, and we're going to talk today about arugula and cooking with arugula. I adore arugula. I don't seem to be able to keep it in my garden as long as I'd like to because it bolts as soon as any kind of heat starts coming in. So what do you do with arugula?
Well, number one, I will let it go to seed whenever I'm going to grow arugula. I let it go to seed and I collect those seeds. So let's say your first year of arugula, you might get to eat a few leaves if it bolts. And
bolting is just the plant's process of producing the seed.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll jump in height. That's the bolting. And it's a significant, I've seen them grow almost a foot in a day when I have a lot of plants. Yeah, your first year might not be as successful, but don't get discouraged because you'll be amazed at once you've got it established what you can do with arugula. They produce so much seed. Each plant can can produce hundreds, if not thousands, of seeds. And they're these little pods. They kind of look like radish rat tails, but smaller. And they're even good to eat. They're good to cook with. They have the peppery flavor that arugula has, which I know a lot of people aren't familiar with arugula, and maybe that's one of the reasons why I love it so much. I would love to use arugula just about anywhere where other people like to use spinach. I personally don't like spinach as much.
Okay.
The oxalic acid in it, you'll notice sometimes if you eat spinach and you've got that chalky feeling in your mouth. That's the oxalic acid that your body cannot break down.
My wife has a hard time digesting spinach sometimes, but she loves arugula. So we'll use, and I like putting spinach on a hamburger rather than lettuce. Would you use arugula in place of spinach?
Okay. Yes.
So we're talking, for those that haven't grown it, it's a leafy green.
Yeah. Yeah. I typically, if people aren't familiar with it, they are familiar with spinach, and I like to refer to it as peppery spinach. Think of it as spinach without that chalkiness, but it also has a nice peppery flavor. And some people don't like that spiciness that it has, but I like a nice green with a bite. So
We love a salad and just throw, it's not straight arugula leaves. I think that'd be a little bit much, but we throw the arugula leaves in with the other greens and adds just
definitely
a great flavor to the overall salad.
Definitely. Yeah. Anyway, so we were talking earlier and I just let my plants grow and they'll winter over. So right now where we're getting some springy weather, if I go out in the garden, I'll notice some new plants coming up. I'll also notice some plants, depending upon how severe our winter has been, I'll notice some plants have survived the whole winter through. Those are the ones that you really want to use because as they grow, they'll produce gigantic leaves and they're extremely peppery. And one of my favorite uses for these is to make arugula pesto. So if you're familiar with pesto, you probably think basil pesto.
Right.
Yeah, that's what most people are familiar with. Well, arugula makes an excellent pesto. I actually used some just this week. I made an arugula and pistachio pesto. And if you've got a food processor or a blender, I personally use Vitamix. I don't know if I'm allowed to endorse.
Whatever works.
A very fine American-made product, such as a Vitamix, but
How much of each? Okay, we're gonna have this recipe here and put it down on the website.
Okay, well, if I just go off of basic measurements, let's say a pound of arugula. So a pound of arugula, if you think of like a gallon-sized Ziploc bag, that should hold about a pound of arugula. You don't have to weigh it out. And this also depends on what kind of vessel you're using. Mm-hmm. My Vitamix uses a 2-quart pitcher, so I can easily pack a pound in there. If you don't have that much, it's fine. But to that, I will add typically about a cup or so of olive oil and about, let's say, 5 or 6 cloves of garlic.
More is better.
Yeah, well, let's play it on the safe side. I always say salt and pepper to taste. You know, whatever you like. Some people don't like as much salt as I do. I also try to balance sweetness. So if you don't like refined white sugar, you can use other sweeteners. You know, there's honey, there's agave, there's stevia. But I'll use, I don't care, I'll use simple refined white sugar.
Just a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, just, I mean, for this batch, I'd say no more than a teaspoon. And then what really made this batch good was the pistachios. So roasted pistachios, and let's say a cup of those. You can buy them
out of the shell, of course.
Yeah, you don't want to throw those shells in there. Yeah, and if you don't want to shuck them, you can find shelled pistachios. But I'll put everything in my blender.
All at once?
All at once, yeah. Typically, garlic and pistachios at the bottom, and then the arugula on top, and then the olive oil. Now, you can also, if you're worried about color, squeeze a lemon over it. And the antioxidants will prevent it from browning. But, yeah, you just pulse it up or run it on high. You're making a paste. And once it's mixed, taste it. You know, add your salt. At this point, you're able to control how you like it. But
it should be a fairly thick paste, or
yes. And if you want it thinner, add some more olive oil. You know,
it's
pretty easy to control the viscosity of this. So.
And what do you like to use this pesto on?
So it can be used for a number of things. There at the restaurant, we always have a daily mac and cheese that we put something in, and this is a good something. it's great on sandwiches. It's great. You can make it into a salad dressing with a little bit of vinegar. And if it's too thin for your liking, then yes, turn it into a salad dressing.
Like the mac and cheese, do you just stir it in?
Yes.
Or just on the top?
No, we'll stir it in, yeah. And I like arugula with beets, which you like, yeah. And they also both love goat cheese quite a bit. So if you're wanting to use the whole leaves, they make a great salad with beets. And I think the pepperiness with beets, goat cheese, and arugula, they work very well together. So
great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to growing my arugula this year for more than just greens. So,
well, also in our climate, I mean, they're really cold resistant. You know, I mean, they'll survive a frost. You know.
So, and I've been digging them up because they've gone to bolt, and so maybe I should just put them in an area of my garden where I can just leave it. Do you have them? Do they start regrowing in the fall with more tender leaves again?
Yep. And they're, I mean, inevitably, even if you're trying to save the seeds, they'll probably drop some seeds, and then
right.
You'll get some micro arugula popping up, which that's another thing. If you know about microgreens, they're a great green to grow for a microgreen. So you're just using them as the sprouted, very small, very young sprouts of the plants, and they make a great garnish. Even when they're young, they have a great peppery flavor. It's obviously more mild when they're younger, but and they're beautiful. You know, they've got these vibrant green leaves with typically, at least, and I'm sure it has something to do with maybe a mineral or something deficiency, but they'll have a purpley stem. And yeah, I think they're beautiful to use. So
great. So we've been talking about arugula. Barney Northrup is the head chef at Herm's Inn in Logan, and we have him on our For Eat's Sake segment on the Zesty Garden. Today we're talking about arugula. Barney, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.